Sex is one of humanity's greatest sources of pleasure. So why is it still shrouded in guilt, shame, and misunderstanding? Welcome to Are You Available? I'm your host, Lana Jade, sex worker turned counselor and sexual educator, and I'm here to unpack some of those issues that have come to light from my time in the adult industry. Hey there, and welcome back to Are You Available? I am with Lulu Vita today as my guest, and we are going to have a little bit of a chat about her perception on the industry since she's just started recently. So her perceptions have been a little bit challenged.
Some decided, and it's incurable. It's just me being stupid, probably.
Not at all. So, Lulu, I'd love you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, cool. Okay. I don't know what to say in these sorts of situations because it's kind of like an elevator pitch almost, but I am 27. I live in Gold Coast / Brisbane, and I am a private escort, and I just started 3 months ago now. I've probably had my 3 month birthday, which is exciting. Not that that's really a birthday, but for me it's a big deal.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
So before you were in full service escorting, you were a sugar baby, right?
Yeah.
So for the people that don't know what sugar dating is all about, and surprisingly there's a lot of them, how would you explain what sugar dating is? Looking at me.
Well, I think most people see sugar dating as like an older gentleman or an older man that usually provides like an allowance for typically a younger woman. And this can come in like many different forms. So it can be like a pay per meet arrangement. It can be like a weekly allowance, a monthly allowance. And then some people see sugar dating as maybe you're just going out to dinners with them or something. But the reality of that, from my experience, is very much it's full service sex work without the name attached to it, or maybe without as much stigma, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like full service sex work with kind of the one guy ongoing, Lou. Do you find?
Yeah. Yeah, most of the time it's just one person, or that's like your most ideal situation. But it's like full service, but without all the autonomy and safety. And like, I'm so glad that I changed over to like private sex work, because, oh my gosh, I would just never go back now. I feel like the industry, sugar dating is set up usually with types of people, and I'm generalizing here, but it's types of clients, the types of men that like that sort of control, or it's a bit of a power play almost. So yeah. Often, yes, you can say that you set your rates and stuff, but there's a lot of negotiating. They will always push boundary cross with you. They want to stop paying you because they think that you're in a relationship with them, even the married one, surprisingly. So it's a very slippery slope. I actually don't recommend sugar dating. I think it's quite dangerous.
Yeah, I started in the same way. I started sugar dating before I was full service worker. Well, like an escort. Like you said, it's definitely full service. And my experience is exactly the same. It's like a biggest power play, and it's more like they want an escort, but they just don't want to pay the escort rates. And yeah, they don't want to obey by the escort rules. And they know that you don't know what their going rates are, and you don't really know how the industry works. So they'll just try and get away with literally anything, was my experience. And I was like, fuck this. Like, it has to be a better way to do it. I want to call the shots.
I find as well, they take advantage of people that are really naive. So you log into the website and you're like, oh, I would love a guy that's going to buy me gifts and take me out to dinner and all of these things, like without the sugar, obviously. So I think that's like what a lot of uni students and like young women may perceive it as, and then the reality is so different. Yeah, and like they're probably the worst clients I've come across. Like when I started doing like private work. I was like, oh, everyone is so nice, like in comparison.
I know.
And like they respect your boundaries and yeah, like I've just had such a better experience and I'm like annoyed I didn't do it sooner. That's like the one thing I'm like, you stupid bitch. Like why? why did you take so long?
Why did you change? What made you, was there like a defining point where you're like, I'm just going to do like escorting? Like what made you decide to go from sugar dating to escorting?
So slowly you transfer from like an allowance to wanting to do generally pay per meet because it generally works better for the woman. Because like, again, if the guy's not available, then you don't get paid, or there's just like all of these logistics to having an arrangement that shouldn't really apply. So I started doing pay-per-meet type arrangements because I liked how I would go and I would have the date and then I'd just be able to leave with the cash. Like I just didn't have to worry about anything as much. So I started slowly transitioning in that way. And then I think I just heard stories about escorts and stuff. And I was like, this is exactly what I'm doing, but I'm just making like none of the money compared to them. Like I was like, what the fuck, what am I doing?
So what is like a ballpark figure, if you don't want to talk about, we don't have to, but what is like talking about the differences in money? Because I know that I was getting paid like, to be honest, like $500 for 2 or 3 hours or something like that, pay per meet.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like stoked. I did an overnight $500 because I just didn't know any different, except the other girl there. The other girl there obviously did. And she was just like such a bitch. And she was, rubbing it in my face the whole time. And I realized that she was getting like a few thousand dollars. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I've been so stupid.
Yeah.
So what was your experience with like the going rate for sugar dating?
So speaking arrangement back in the day, if we want to talk like 2013, generally was like 500 per meet, 600 per meet. And then recently or more recently, I put my rate up. So I was doing 750 per meet. But it was so much harder to find someone that would pay that. Like it was like pulling teeth, or you would have to find like a needle in the haystack. So generally speaking, it's like most sugar daddies would want to pay 400 or 500, I reckon, on the Gold Coast and Brisbane, which is like, it's nothing. And they're not time-based. They want you to spend the whole afternoon, evening, whatever with them. The other thing, which I don't really like about the dynamic, a lot of them won't pay you up front. They pay you at the end.
Which is like, that's so sweet. Like, it's like they've like adapted to, because they know that once the girl's got the money, she can like essentially just leave, right? Like after the first little bit.
It's a power thing as well. Like it's totally a power thing. I had one sugar daddy and like I think I'm a bit traumatized by him. Like I hate him a lot. Just learning. Hopefully he never listens to this. But after a period of time, it's like, again, a power play. He'd try and change the payment method. So I wanted cash, and then it was cash initially, and then he's like, you know what, I'm actually not comfortable paying cash. I want to do bank transfer. So then it was bank transfer for a little bit, and then he was like, no, I'm not comfortable doing bank transfer. I'm going to get you, like, a prepaid credit card. You know, like,
oh, it's like a, really?
Yeah, and it was like an Oz Post, like load and go type card. But what that meant was that, because he was obsessed, what that meant was he could see all the transactions on the card, like where I was, and
it was, oh my gosh, that's really horrible. Yeah,
it was a really bad situation. I not a fan of that one.
No, how did it go when like you ended that arrangement? Was there any sort of issues?
Okay. I reckon I ended it like 4 times before he got the picture. And the last time, this is like, I won't go into the full detail of the story, but the last time, the reason it happened was he was on my social media as well. So he'd watch everything that I was up to, because I'm a dumb bitch and allowed that entry into my life. But anyways, he started screenshotting my stuff and being like, who are you with? What are you doing? Like, it was really inappropriate. So I sat him down and I'm like, I feel really uncomfortable. You know, I don't want a boyfriend. Can you please stop being like this? Otherwise, like, the arrangement has to end. And then he's like, okay, I understand. I'll tone it down. So what did he do? He took me away for the weekend. And this makes me sound like the most ungrateful bitch, but he took me away for the weekend for like a romantic getaway, helicopter ride. I'm pretty sure he was like ready to propose. And like got off the helicopter. There was like a teepee set up with champagne, cheese, everything. And I was like, this isn't what I meant by me not having a boyfriend. Like, this is the opposite.
Oh my God. I don't think you sound ungrateful at all. It's like,
yeah, well, it was like, if I said no to something, he's like, all right, I just need to try harder. Like, he saw my boundaries as something that were like, it was able to be overcome if he could manipulate me in the right way. So like
a challenge in a sense or something.
Yeah, like it was a challenge. So I think like it was like maybe gonna be a proposal or something. And then so I was like, goodbye, this is it. Sorry. Took me on a helicopter ride and now you have to go. So
that's
how that one ended.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, yeah, I can't even imagine. That would have been so awkward for you as well to get off the plane, the helicopter, and see all of that.
Well, I got motion sickness on the helicopter. So I was like nearly passing out, like almost going in and out of consciousness. And then also I was wearing a maxi dress, and the pilot must have like put the maxi dress like accidentally a little bit out the door. So when we're on the helicopter, he was sitting in the back, or my sugar daddy was sitting in the back, and I'm like I'm thinking in my head, stop being crazy, we're on a helicopter, like stop tugging on my dress, you annoying person. And then I like look down and my dress is like flying out of the helicopter. It wasn't him. It was a lot. And then I had to pull it back in, but I was all dizzy and like gonna vomit. And yeah, that was like the worst date I've ever been on, I reckon. And it was the most extravagant, most money probably anyone's ever spent on me. And it was the least appreciated. Like,
well, I think it goes to show it doesn't matter like how much money you spend on someone. If you like completely overstep your boundaries consistently, there's never anything they're going to appreciate.
And I think sometimes they see you not as a person. So if you say something, or even if you're expressing like interest about hobbies and stuff or whatever it might be, it's just completely overlooked because to them you're not a person, you're more of like an object. So I think that's the big difference between like sugar dating and full service, in my opinion. I mean, I'm still getting to know it still.
Yes, you're still in the brand new exciting little period. So how is it going? Obviously you said you're enjoying it, so what is the biggest difference other than men viewing you not just as an object?
I think the clients are nicer and more respectful. I like the power dynamic because, like, essentially, like, I'm running a business. So I look at it as something where I can call all the shots. I do the screening. I love in-calls because then I'll pick the hotel and I feel really comfortable because they're coming into my environment. So it just, like, the whole dynamic has changed. And then if you end up spending an extra 20 minutes with a client or whatever it is, they're like so grateful and appreciative and like lovely about it. It's just very, very different.
We've spoken previously and your perceptions of the industry have changed, right? They've changed from what you expected coming into the industry. And so you are like, you're following social media accounts and so you had this idea of what the industry was and what it entails and the people in it. What do you think the main like biggest difference has been?
So in terms of clients, they're better. And I thought everyone was going to be out to hurt me or attack me. So I had this like real weird idea about danger associated with a booking, and actually it's a lot safer than sugar dating. In terms of the people, so like before I decided to sign up to Scarlet Blue and everything, I have like a Finsta, like, you know, like a fake Instagram. And I would use my Finsta to like look at everyone's stuff so I could like get an idea of like what I wanted to do and what it was all about and what it was like. And I thought everyone was so busy and everyone was like, killing the game, you know, like they all have like the Lubies, like Louboutins and all the designer stuff. And I don't know, I had this perception of like it was really elite almost, and that the people that are in the industry just generally were doing really, really well and were always busy. And I don't know why I thought these things, it sounds stupid. Everyone that's listening is probably like, what a dumb bitch. But no. Like, if that's what in their marketing, I fell for it. Sorry.
This is exactly the thing. Like every person that I mentor, they have this same like idea about people in the industry. So I just feel like that they're doing so badly in comparison to everybody else. I'm like, what are you basing? Like, why do you think you're doing badly? Like you're doing so well. Like, yeah, but she's doing this and she's doing that. She's doing all these dinner dates and she's getting all these gifts. I'm like, babe, that's what she wants everybody to believe. It doesn't mean it's real, first of all. Like, yeah. It's marketing. Yeah. Like, there's so many people that portray like a super high-end, super exclusive, super busy persona. But a lot of these times, like, you know, girls are sending themselves gifts and or they're buying themselves a gift. Like, thank you, Mr. T. But so, I mean,
I fell for it.
And some of the time it's true, right? Like some of the time it's definitely true, but most of the time, a lot of the time it's marketing, and somebody's idea of being busy, it could be like 2 bookings a week, whereas somebody else's idea of busy could be 15 bookings a week. So, I mean, sometimes it's not even about like lying. It's just like the differences in what you view as like busy and making money, but the whole perception that people have of every girl in the industry is that she's just like always running to the next booking. And
I remember someone on Instagram was saying like, oh, my phone just rings off the hook, and then I was like, why doesn't my phone ring off the hook? like I was like, text them how much they're getting in a day.
My view is if your phone is ringing off the hook, then you've priced yourself too low, you know, like because the lower you know, like it's just a marketing strategy, or you know, not even a strategy. It's like the lower your rates are, the more people can afford it, so the more likely you are to be getting inquiries. So, but also at the same time, the more time wasters you're going to get too. So the higher your rate is, the less your phone is going to call, because the less you need to work to get the same amount of money. So it's all really very relative. And I find it so fascinating when so many girls post these like this persona, because I'm like, it's actually a deterrent for some clients too, to think you're like so busy, you know?
I totally get that. I think with regulars, like if I'm like, oh, I'm so busy, in my mind I'm really busy, but like I prefer like longer bookings and stuff. So like it's just more emotional energy and things. And yeah, I don't think clients always see that as a positive thing.
No, they get intimidated as well. Like it can be an intimidation thing of like, oh, she's, you know, like there's all different ways people can view it. So it's just really interesting the way people portray the marketing.
Yeah.
So what else, was there any other differences between what you perceived on?
Bloody everything. Like, honestly, like there was nothing that I'm correct about, I don't think. I'm trying to think what else. Like, obviously I had this idea around like OnlyFans and like creators around OnlyFans and stuff, because like some escorts do OnlyFans as well, but then there's also like the sex industry is so large and varied, isn't it? So there might be people that do just like content creation online, and then you have like full service sex work, and then you have like dancers and stuff, and then actually, sorry to change the subject.
Yeah, let's do it.
Male escorts, I was like, whoa, what is this? Like, I didn't really know it was real or like a thing. And then I've been following a couple, and I'm just like, okay, might look you later. Like,
after this literally podcast, they'll be all sliding into your DMs. I'm sure they have been already, actually.
There's one in particular that's super delicious and has not slid into the DMs, and I'm a bit salty about it, to be honest, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Every male escort that's listening will be like, is it me? Like, oh shit, I've already messaged her.
Yeah, nah. We'll take that one to grave. But yeah, I thought that was like a really cool concept, like, or just, I was like, oh, what type of clients do they get? How many bookings do they have? What are they like as people? They must be like these absolute Greek gods in bed. Like, they have to be, right? Like, you just have all these ideas.
Well, some of them are pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, how do I word this? No, they're pretty, yeah. Some of them, I can understand why they're busy, because they're like, very good at what they do. So.
Good to know. I think there's a lot of appeal to booking male escorts, because like, I don't want to date in my personal life. I don't want to get on Tinder, but I would totally hit some of them up, you know, like, just
I'm so interested to see how many guys message you after listening.
No, I'm busy. Like, I need to focus on my business. I need to calm down. I'm just getting carried away.
But you know what? That is actually a good point, because I'm friends with a female escort, and one of their biggest, not one of their biggest, it's like a total exaggeration, but they get a lot of working girls book them for that exact reason. Like, we don't want to date, or a lot of us don't want to date. And, you know, we want to be pampered too a little bit. We want like all the things done to us from a guy that we're like super attracted to. So yeah, they get a lot of bookings from sex workers, and I can definitely understand why.
Yeah, me too. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, do recommend.
Yeah.
Oh, where were we?
Yeah, sorry.
Little tangent.
I need to calm down. Well, what other perceptions did I have about sex workers and stuff, or just like girls in the industry?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm
trying to think of some of the things that you've said previously, and I'm like, what?
It's funny how, like, remember when I had one of my first overnight bookings, and he was like, oh, I'd like to take you to like this waterfall, and we're going to do like this beautiful picnic. And I was like, something bad's going to happen.
Like, I don't think I should do this. I don't think I should do this.
The most wholesome date ever, and like super cute and lovely. And I was like, this seems really suspicious. I don't know if I should take it. And you were like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, you were like, I'm pretty sure he's gonna push me off the cliff. I'm like, you're fine. I think you're okay.
And then I've had some like suspicious booking inquiries, and I'm like explaining them to you, and I was like, oh yeah, this sounds reasonable. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, what? Do not take that booking. For the most part, like, because before I worked for a month, I think, before I met you or before I asked you to coach me. So I was just like navigating that space, and like, I didn't even make like a lot of money. I think I made like $6,000 or $7,000 in that first month. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was booking Airbnb, and I got locked out of an Airbnb one night. That was horrific. So like, yeah, I was just doing it all wrong. And then now that I have you to coach me, then it's like, it's been a lot more seamless.
You weren't doing it wrong. You were doing really well already. You've just like shortcut a heap of mistakes that I made, so you don't have to make the same mistakes. And
yeah, you
know,
yeah.
Know how to like.
Oh, I remember, because like I literally have like, I had no sex worker friends or anything, so I didn't have anyone to ask these questions. And I remember, like, I think our first coaching call that we had, I had to ask you like, what do you do when you're on your period? And like, all of that. Like, I had to ask you all of these like really nitty gritty questions that like,
but nobody knows. How would anybody know? And it's, yeah, like you don't, like nobody would know until you're in the industry and you've got somebody to talk to. And I think that's like the biggest thing I find with this industry is that if you literally don't know anybody else and you start in the industry, there's like, it's so hard to find, well, there's not really that many resources. You don't even know where to look for resources or guidance. And that's why so many people get taken advantage of, because it's like, there's not easily accessible training that you just stumble upon when you're Googling, and it's isolating, right? Like you said, you didn't have anybody to talk to. So how have you like felt with the being in the industry and without having sex worker friends, like at the moment? I know you're meeting people and all the things, but how's it changed since the first couple of months?
Well, I have you now, so it's great. I like to message voice memo you in a panic, being like, oh my gosh, I got this inquiry and it's really weird. And so I like just panic. But like, I can't message my friends about that sort of stuff. So like, my friends for the most part are like super supportive. But like, you can't talk to them about nitty gritty stuff, or they also have all these like preconceived ideas about what an, like being an escort is as well. So like, they're always like maybe really concerned about my safety. In particular, I think that's the biggest one. But yeah, I can't ask them like how to put a sponge in or
or how to get it out. Sometimes they get stuck too, and that's like an awfully scary thing to happen. We can go through that later if that happens. Yeah. I know some tricks.
But for the most part, like these people slide into my DMs and are really friendly. Like it's pretty good community. I used to do beauty blogging like a few years ago, and like it is like no one talks to anyone, and it's like, how many followers do you have? Oh my gosh. And like, do you not have like the Anastasia Beverly Hills new palette? You're a loser. Like, I don't know. But like the sex work community for like as a whole is actually like way more, from an outsider's perspective, way more inclusive, way more friendly.
Yeah,
it's been really good. And like, I've met like a couple of people, but for the most part I'm still fresh out of the womb. I haven't really had a lot of opportunities to meet people yet.
Yeah, you will meet people, like especially when the borders open and people start touring again, because that's where I used to meet a lot of people, is when I was like either going to somewhere, or you know, you connect with people online and then like you end up being in the same city and you catch up for drinks or do bookings together. Yeah. Not that you do bookings together in Brisbane, but you know, other places in the country where it's legal and all of that.
That's a really funny point, because I didn't have any sex worker friends. When I first started, for the first month, these poor clients, when they messaged me, I was so vague about like what I did and stuff, because Queensland has such weird laws around sex work and like what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say, what you can like put on your like Scarlet Blue profile and stuff. And like, I literally thought that if I sent a text message that said like, I don't know, the word massage or something, the police were going to come and like knock down my door and like arrest me. I had this like weird
no
fear. I didn't know how it worked, and like when you Google it, it sounds so scary and it's confusing.
It is, but that's the thing, each state has such different rules and laws and legislations, and I honestly think Queensland is one of the, it's not the worst, like I haven't really been in, I mean there's a lot worse, I guess, but sometimes the police really do crack down on sex workers, and there's some pretty awful stories. Like, you know, girls will be with their partners, like with their boyfriends in a hotel room, and then the police will come for whatever reason, and then the guy will get charged as being a pimp, because like nobody can earn money off your income in Queensland. Like you technically can't hire a security guard, you can't hire a driver, nobody can earn an income off your work. So yeah, so like if you're in the hotel with your partner, so it looked times as guys that have been there with their girlfriend who's working, and they've been done as like pimping her out, even though they're not, they're just like there, but they've been arrested as that. And or like working in doubles and things like that. So they do crack down on it every so often. Mm-hmm. It seems to like come and go in waves. I guess it's a political thing perhaps, or whenever they're bored. I don't really know what the ins and outs of it are, but yeah, it's crazy. Like the laws are just so ridiculously different between each state and territory.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like I might be wrong, because honestly, I look at the the website that lists all these things. And I'm like, what even is that? Like, I don't even understand it still. It's just, it's really like quite extreme. But like, I'm pretty sure I can't even text a friend, like, to let them know I'm safe at the end of a booking or something. Like, I know there's some like weird laws around that. People are going to listen to this podcast and be like, some bitch, she doesn't know anything. But
I'm just trying to think what law that could possibly be. But I think like if you're paying somebody from a safety perspective, like that mm-hmm. is illegal. So if you were paying like a safety service or, you know, anything, right? Like, and someone's yeah. earning an income off your earnings, like linked yeah. to your job, then that's illegal. It's yeah. just so bizarre. I like in Canberra, the laws are different again. And I had somebody, it was a whole big thing. Like, it wasn't even to do with me. It was to do with this advertising platform. They were like trying to, you know, damage every girl that advertised on that platform, like in a negative way. So I was going to Canberra and they reported me to the tax department, which is like, fine, whatever, report me to the tax, I pay my tax, but also to the yeah. licensing place. Because in Canberra, I had no idea, you've got to have you used to have, I think they've changed it, used to have a license to be able to be a sex worker. So like, and the obviously I was linked into these emails, so I knew what they'd done. And then the licensing person, I emailed them and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know. And they're like, it's fine, just come to Canberra. Like when you come to the the office. But the office is the same place that you get your car license. So I was there getting my sex worker license in a like this crazy busy room full of people that were registering cars and boats. And I had to go up to the counter and I'm like, just here to register as a sex worker, thanks.
Why do you have to make it so out the gate? Like, why do you have to declare? Like, even I think Melbourne as well, you need to have a license. But like,
yeah,
I don't need to declare to the government, like, hey, I'm doing this. Like, I pay tax and stuff, but and like, you are in a business, but like, I, you know, you don't need them to know like every little ins and outs of like, or like having that official stamp the rest of your life that that's what you've been yeah. doing.
Well, in Victoria, you definitely do. Yeah, you got to have a sex worker number thing. I can't think of the name. I can't think of the name is right now. SWA.
Some type of license. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think that's really interesting that they make you declare that, because then like if you wanted to work, not that I ever do, but like in a government position in like 10 years time, you thought they'd probably know.
Yeah, well, they're meant to be confidential, but who truly knows? Like, I'm sure yeah. that kind of stuff can be like accessed for certain things. But yeah, it's really interesting, the different laws. We're really lucky in New South Wales, but the best, you know,
the best secret laws. I know, but the Dom guy, the new premier.
Oh.
Honestly, that's concerning. That is very concerning for like, I think, sex work.
Just one day at a time with New South Wales right now. It's like, yeah. Let's get through lockdown and then we'll deal with like,
yeah, time zone dates are a vibe. I didn't expect that in private sex work, but I thought that was really cool. I love when clients do weird, kinky shit that I really enjoy. Like, and they didn't even know. And like, it's like two brains connect and you're just like, oh, like, do you know?
What is one of those weird, kinky things just for like your future clients to
love feet, or like I love, I don't know, like I'm sure you've had this happen, but like if you're getting, or if you guys are having sex and your legs are kind of up in the air and you're getting fucked, and then they like suck your toes, bite your feet, like that real sensual.
Yes.
Oh, an ex lover did it to me maybe like a year and a half ago, and it was like new level unlocked. Like
it's like the toe sucking thing is surprisingly sensual. Like the first couple of times it happened, I was like, oh my God, like why do I even like this so much? So toe sucking,
yeah, it like came in like 2.5 seconds. So when a client you haven't told, like you haven't told them you like that, and then they do that, you're just like, bless your cotton socks, you're just doing the Lord's work. Thank you. Appreciate you. But like I love shit like that, just like random it's, I wouldn't go as far as saying synchronicity, but just when.
But almost.
Your preference is a lot. Yeah.
And how do you find, so let's compare like the sexual experiences between sugar daddies and independent sex work clients. Do you find that like they care more about you, like what you want?
Yeah. So or they obviously sexual preferences are varied and like, you know, you can have men that are like more pleasers and then you can have men that like want you to please them, I guess. So there's like that power exchange, power dynamic. And I wouldn't go as far to say that all sugar daddies are like more, it's about just them. But I will say like a massive thing, and this is probably going to be really controversial, but so many sugar daddies, like it makes me so mad. It makes my blood boil. They try and be like, oh no, I don't like wearing condoms. I'm not going to wear a condom. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm going now. Like, so they think that they get agency in the decision over your body, or like, they're like, oh, okay, I understand. I respect that. But maybe like after a few more dates and you're comfortable with me. And yeah. I'm like, no, what do you mean? Like, it's very clear. Yeah. Like,
I had that exact same experience. It was like, yeah, they thought sugar, that was the other difference I found with sugar dating. It's like they expected that sugar dating meant no condom because you were like dating effectively, even if it was like pay for play, like pay per meet type thing.
Yeah, I don't know why they think that that's normal. I don't know, but like maybe this is just my experience, but if you go on a I'm probably generalizing and people are going to be like, this is completely incorrect, but I find when you date younger people, like I'm 27, and say if I went out on a date with someone similar age, they like condoms are just assumed, like it's not a thing. But maybe if you've been, I'm totally generalizing here, but married for a long time, so you've been seeing the same person and haven't been wearing condoms, and then getting back out into the world and seeing a sugar baby, you think that like, yeah, it's just condoms aren't a thing, which like I think for the most part, a lot of young people are really, they value their sexual health more now. Like all my friends go and get tested. Everyone does like the right thing for the most part in that way, or like it's just an unspoken thing. Whereas I think maybe some of the older sugar daddies, they just were like really set in their ways. They thought that that was appropriate or like not a big ask.
I think it's just totally a power play in all honesty. Yeah. In my opinion, I think like it's just like, it's not even about health. It's just about the fact that they assume that sugar babies are naive and that they control the dynamic. And essentially they do in a way, but like that doesn't mean that you just do whatever they say, but they feel like they've got, well, they do have something over you. They've got your allowance over you. Yeah. So they'll do what they can to, yeah, to, I don't think it's anything to do with like lack of education or set in their ways.
Generation or something. Yeah.
I think it's totally just, yeah.
Evil bastards.
Yes, exactly. Just playing on somebody's inexperience or naivety, or knowing that like they want money and that that's a, like, can be a lot of money to people, so they're like, well, let's see how far she'll go for this money, you know.
So messed up. I hate it so much. Moral of the story is never sugar date if you have the opportunity.
Yeah. So many girls think it's like, I know I thought it was like, well, I get to choose who like my clients are, like, I get to choose my sugar daddy. So I feel like that was the reason that I leant towards sugar dating, but you're still like having sex for money. Like, you know, it's a lot quicker and easier to get that money as an independent sex worker, in my opinion.
But like, you can still choose your clients too. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have that part in my brain, like, of attractiveness. Like, I think I've always liked lots of different types of people. So like, because I had friends that asked me, they're like, don't you like think that's weird? Are you not attracted? Like, how, like, you're not attracted to them? Like, how do you feel about that? And I'm like, I feel amazing, to be honest. Like, it's fine. I don't have that click in my brain where
there's something you can find, like, there's something about everybody that's attractive, I think, like when you meet them, and they're nice and they're respectful. There's always something attractive about every client now, but I didn't have the same opinion when I first began. Like, I think I sugar dated like 9 years ago. So it was like a progression, but I had some pretty awful experiences. Like when I was 18 as like a topless waitress. And
yeah,
so I think I was just like, I want to at least see who I am, you know, going to be
dating or sleeping with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no issue. I don't really mind.
It's amazing.
Books. Yeah. Just doesn't click in my brain.
No, I think there's something attractive about everybody that you meet. But if they're rude, that's the only time. They're rude during inquiries. I'm just like, I don't even know how I'm going to like this man. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I actually, so like you get an inquiry and then they send you like a shirtless pic. And you know where this is going. Like, can I get a discount? And I'm just like,
oh, you should be paying me.
You have to pay triple now, actually. Like, yeah. I don't care about your six pack whatsoever.
I'm 35, Australian, white. I've got a good body. Okay, like, why are you telling me this? I don't want to see you now. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, I don't know. I find stuff like that super weird. So yeah, that's another.
It is weird,
right? Or like, yeah, haggling rates or anyone that's rude. That's unattractive. But if someone is really nice, like it's a vibe. It's fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I find it really exciting. Or do you find it exciting? Like, I play this game with myself, like, where I get the inquiries and I picture who they're going to be. Like, I, like, make this mental picture from, like, the way they're talking and their name. And I'm like, oh, is he going to be this age? Is this what he going to look like? And then I'm, like, excited when I open the door and I'm like, oh, yes. Or I'm like, oh, my God, I was so wrong. And
I can't say I play that game when I get in the car. But I do often take driver's license. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. So like I actually get to.
Well, you can't play that game if you already know what they look like. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's funny how like, yeah, they might talk to you a certain way and then when they're in the booking, it's different, like even like because text message can be a little bit abrupt sometimes but not intentionally, so yeah. It's interesting. It's always really exciting when you have a new client and you get to kind of figure them out and what they're about and everything. I used to hate, like the first like little bit of time I hated it, but I actually froth going down in the lobby, like down the lift, and like then and you know you're just about to like do naughty things and you go down the lift and then they see you and then their eyes like widen, they light up.
Yeah.
And like sometimes they're really nervous or like sometimes they're not. Yeah, it's like I love that like little awkwardness or like them seeing you for the first time.
But I've done that, but then I've gone to walk up to the wrong guy and it's just some guy that obviously thought I was attractive. So I slide up and then I go to walk towards him and they have like a mild panic and I'm like, oh, wrong one.
I haven't had that happen yet, but the place that I do in call, like I direct them to a certain couch, like I've got a full but it all worked out now.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I better let you go and get on with the rest of your day. Otherwise, I'll continue talking to you and waste your hours of your day.
No, you're so fine.
Thank you so much for joining me. Is there anything that you wanted to say to potential clients, perhaps? Or people that are thinking about booking?
Oh, she likes notice. She's also... So give me notice because you'll get the best version of me when I'm prepared. Other than that, yeah, I just like respectful people and people that actually read my ad and then follow the rules. That's the most important. But in terms of our girls sort of thinking, if they ever listen to your podcast and they're sugar babies, I would say run and get on Scarlet Blue. That's what, get a mentor and get on Scarlet Blue.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Well,
I was just gonna say it's exceeded all my expectations, like it's just blown it out of the water. It's wild.
Yes, you're doing so well. I'm super excited for you. I love watching like all your successes. It's super exciting. It's made me excited again.
Some moments in between, but yeah, there's been some good wins.
No dumb moments. There's been no dumb moments. Don't say that. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. And thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye.